All the present is furnished with God's power, and we have hope to rule and reign with Christ, and that's what we've been talking about. And we try to meet your needs where you're at, and some I've heard lately have said, well, I don't know if I have any talents or gifts, and I don't know if I have any rewards in heaven. Well, I have this little sheet handout, and I want to go over it very quickly this morning. You might keep this just for encouragement. Matthew 25, 14 to 30 says, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And this whole thing is called 1 talent. A prominent businessman in America once wrote concerning the then obscure evangelist Dwight L. Moody. The first time I ever saw him was in a little shanty that had been abandoned by a saloon keeper. He had managed to get possession of the place in order to hold a meeting that night. I was a little late and never met Mr. Moody, but when I came in, the first thing I saw was a heavyset man standing up holding a small Negro boy in his arms. By the light of the few tallow candles, he was trying to read to him the story of the prodigal son. A great many of the words he could not make out, and so he had to skip them. I thought if God could ever use such an instrument as that for his honor and glory, it would certainly astonish me. After the meeting was over, the man who turned out to be Mr. Moody said to me, Mr. Reynolds, I only have 1 talent. I have no education, but I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to do something for him. Pray for me. Mr. Reynolds said that from that day on, he never ceased to remember before the throne of grace that devoted soldier of the cross who said he only had 1 talent, a deep love for the Lord Jesus Christ. At a mission hall in London, a lady who was quite deaf met an evangelist who was to speak that evening. Her cordiality and the Christian character impressed him. And he said, what part do you take in this noble work? He asked. And she answered, I smile them in and I smile them out. That was her work for God. Soon afterwards, the preacher had an opportunity to see the good results of her sympathy as a large crowd of working men entered the hall, apparently delighted to get a warm smile of Christian welcome from her. She too had the 1 talent, which she put to good use. There's no Christian, no matter how few his gifts or her gifts, who cannot put his 1 talent of love to work for the Savior. O Master, let me walk with you in lowly paths of service free. Tell me thy secret, help me bear the strain of toil and the fret of care. It is the greatest of all mistakes to do nothing because you can only do little. Do what you can. And that's exactly it. There isn't anybody here that God can't use where you're at and the circumstances you're in to do good in his name. And that's what God's looking for. I think some of the greatest rewards in the kingdom of God will be to those who nobody ever heard of, to be honest with you. Those have been faithful to God, those that are faithful in doing what he's called them to do, and so forth. Now, I want to talk about something this morning we've been talking about, but I'm going to take this in various detail. And the first is, we find out that salvation is a process. Number one, first saving your spirit. Number two, saving your soul. And then number three, saving your body. There's 3 parts to salvation. If your spirit is saved, you will go to heaven. If your spirit is saved, you will stand before God. But the process in this life, God wants our soul saved. That's our mind, will, emotions, actions, thoughts, words, all of those things. He's in the process of saving them now. When you are saved, when you're saved in your spirit, your soul's not saved. That's a process. It starts at that point. Now, that's what the church, I think, in many cases have failed to teach, and that's why people don't understand what salvation is all about. In fact, some people really don't understand salvation, period. And I want to talk about that this morning because part of this process in our soul is having babies in Christ. Part of it is leading other people to Christ. If I had a show of hands here this morning, and I'm not here to make you feel bad, but if I had a show of hands, how many's ever led anybody to Jesus Christ? I wonder how many hands would go up. I'm not going to do that, but I want you to know that's part of this. We are to multiply ourselves. We are to lead other people to Jesus Christ in various ways, and I'm going to talk about this morning about that. What the devil has done, he has created something called religion. And religion is something where people meet and get all kinds of information about God, but they never personally receive Him into their life. They are given this idea if they hear about God and they work for God, they're going to go to heaven. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches we are to hear about God, we are to know about Him, but it also teaches we are to receive Him personally. So personally that we are transformed from one life into His life. There's a transformation that takes place. Many people, I find, made a profession of faith or they prayed a prayer back when they were kids. And in many cases, never progressed from that point. So one of two things happened. Either number one, they weren't truly saved. They just prayed a prayer. Or number two, they never understood they had to progress from that point as Christians. They had to learn the ways of God, learn the things of God, learn their part in the body of Christ. So there is a responsibility for believers after you get saved. And there will be responsibility for believers in heaven. And so we need to understand that. So I want to talk today first about salvation. Then, if I have time, I'm going to talk about the hindrances to why people do not grow in the Lord. And I'm going to show you and how you can very simply take your part in multiplying yourself, if you're a Christian, to other people. Now, four things are necessary in salvation for somebody to get saved. I'm talking about their spirit being saved. I'm talking about taking out of darkness and coming into light. We need to know, you may never have had natural children, but you can certainly have spiritual children. And God expects us to have them because we have every opportunity with our families, with our friends, where we work, where we shop, whatever we do, we all have opportunity to meet people. One of the biggest deceptions of the devil is to get people to get saved and then just isolate themselves and wait for Jesus to come. That is going to be a terrible problem when you stand before Jesus Christ because He's going to judge us for our works after we're saved, not before. Now, for somebody to come to Christ, several things are necessary. Number one, the Holy Spirit has to convict them. So you need to be praying for everybody around you and certainly your family that the Holy Spirit would draw them to Christ. We need to be praying that. If you're not doing that, you're not doing your part in this process. You might not lead them to the Lord, but it doesn't make any difference who does it as long as it's done. If we really believe what Jesus teaches, we would really believe that our families need to be saved. And we wouldn't let anything stop us from doing everything we can to do our part that they would come to Christ. Now, some churches only teach this part of salvation, but it is a necessary teaching. I was saved in a church where they taught salvation. And I grew up in a church where they did not teach salvation, and therefore I was not saved until I was 33 years old. Because I then started going to a church where they taught the Word of God, where they taught the truth about salvation, and then I knew. And so the very first thing is the Holy Spirit has to get somebody's attention. Now, after I got saved, God showed me various times in my life before I was saved where He tried to get my attention. I could tell you every one of them today because God made it very clear. I remember those experiences, but I did not know what to do with it. I didn't know it always it was God. I remember one time standing in the worship place in the church where I grew up. It was night. Everybody else was in a different part of the building. And I stood there as a child, and I sensed God in that place. I really did. I sensed the presence of God. I just didn't know what to do with it because nobody taught it. They taught some things, but they didn't teach salvation, which is sad. Anybody who's in a church that doesn't teach salvation ought to get out of there because it's not doing anybody any good. You have to come to Christ first. Then you have to be led by the Holy Spirit. You have to hear the Word of God because faith comes by hearing. Hearing the Word of God spoken. Even if you speak it, your ears hear it. You could speak the things of salvation and get saved. So, then we need to come to a place where we want to turn away from sin and turn to God. We want a different life. We want heaven. We want to be with Christ forever. We find out about the cross of Calvary and the blood that was shed as the Lamb of God, paying the price for our sins, for us personally. He had your name on that cross when He shed that blood. He had the name of each one of your family members on that cross when He shed His blood. He had the name of your friends on that cross when He shed His blood. But it doesn't come automatically. Not everybody's going to heaven. I've heard people teach everybody's going to heaven. That's not what the Bible teaches. Jesus made it possible for everybody to go to heaven, but unless you receive what He has done, it is not going to count. Period. In fact, Christ made it very clear. If you study the Gospels, you'll hear Him say, probably more people are going to be eternally separated from Him than those that come to Christ. Now, that's a sad thing. If you want to know why this nation's in the mess it is, it's because churches haven't stood up and declare everybody needs Christ, including Washington, D.C. Are you listening to me? You see, we have elected people who know not God, and so they're acting like the world, and we wonder why things are messed up, you see. So the issue is somebody might not get saved because we didn't do our part. And if you're legitimately saved, I think God puts into you to want to see other people saved. If you don't have that in you, there's something wrong someplace. And we're going to talk about that later. Another thing is that you can know about Christ and die lost. The devil knows about Christ, yet he will be lost forever. It's not just knowing about Him, it's knowing Him. It's going into the Oval Office and meeting Him. Only here it's the cross at Calvary. It's knowing God personally, not from a distance, not knowing about Him. We know more about our president than probably we want to know. He's on TV every day, but I don't know Him. Are you listening? I do not know Him. Now, it's the same way with God. There are people that spend their money, their time, they go to church for all their life, and they do not know the one for whom the church is, Christ. And so it's important. If somebody reads a little bit of the Bible and they say, I know God. That's not the way it is. So we have to receive what he has done. We have to receive him personally. That's very important. Surrender then is there's a surrendering to him for the rest of the process. Now, I think a person has to know that in the beginning, God. That's what the Bible says. You need to know this. I didn't know all this information when I got saved. You don't have to know all of it, but I think it's good to tell somebody God's in charge. We got the idea that we're in charge. God's in charge. He created everything. He sustains everything. He holds it all together. If he let go of it, everything would fly apart. The planets and everything, all the elements, all the atoms and molecules and all this stuff would just disintegrate into nothing. Because the Bible says in Colossians that God holds it all together. In fact, it says Christ holds it all together. He holds everything together. Everything you have is held together by God. And so God is. That's what Genesis 1:1 says. And then you go to Genesis 1:18 and it basically says that everybody has the capacity to know God. God puts within us a void, an emptiness in every person that can only be filled by God. We try to fill it with everything imaginable in this world, and there's a lot of things. Money, people, time, love, whatever. We try to fill that void with everything. Drinking, drugs, whatever. And people do that, but they're never satisfied, I'll tell you. They are never satisfied. Because we are made to be satisfied by one, and that's Jesus Christ. You will never be happy, you'll never have peace, you'll never have contentment without him. He said, my peace I give you. That's what he said. Now, we know there's a God. Everybody knows that. You look out and see, and anybody that thinks a tree evolved has to have their head examined. You know, that's stupid. But we were all stupid before we came to Christ. And so the issue is, the Bible says very simply, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And to prove that, God put just 10 things called the 10 Commandments. And he said, just go down the list. And if you've broken any of them, you can't go to heaven without Jesus Christ. It's just that simple. Have you ever stolen anything? You ever lied about anything? You ever coveted somebody something somebody else had? I don't think those I think those 10 commandments are categories of sin. And under each category, there's all kinds of long lists. God said, you break one. It's all over. Because God is perfect, and he can only have perfection in heaven. Absolute perfection. Absolute perfection to get into heaven. So how can we possibly go? Know the one who is absolute perfection. Do I hear an amen? That's it. We're not. He is. We know him. Now, you realize all of sin comes short of the glory of God. God said so, but we know it anyway. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. There is a supreme court of the universe. Everybody will appear in that court. You see. Sin must be paid for. We do not have the ability to pay for it. God had to pay for it himself. we have a hard time believing, understanding the love of God, who we have a God that created us and we messed it up, and then he came and died for us so that we could be fixed up. Every single person can be fixed up if they want to. He gave us a free will. We don't have to. He will never violate the free will of a person. I'll guarantee it. Never, ever. If a person says no, it's no. Is there a line you cross? Yes, I think there is. Some people in their deathbed said, I don't want anything to do with God. Don't want to hear about it. Get that Bible out of here. How can anybody be that way? They've crossed the line. It's over. But we don't know where the line is, so we keep telling them about Jesus. We take the Bible in when they're dying. We talk to them about Jesus. And occasionally, one will say, I want to hear about him. I want to hear about him. It's worth it. For 100 rejections, if you got one that says, I want to hear about him. I want to hear about him. Anybody can do this. I really believe one of the questions on the test is going to be, did you talk to anybody about Jesus? I really believe that. Jesus Christ paid for it all. But you have to personally receive it. You have to personally receive it. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become children of God or sons of God. That's what it says, John 1:12. Now, my famous passer outer, if you will pass one of these out to everybody, please. We have out on our table a tract called Steps to Peace with God. You can write your own, but everybody can use one of these. Everybody can use one of these. My mother got saved going over a track like this one right here. Now, I've heard people say that people don't get saved reading tracks. Well, maybe they don't. But you can use this to lead somebody to Jesus Christ. You can use your own words. I'm not sure it has to be perfect words. But the issue is, we have these out on the table. You can give one of these to your family. You can send one of these to your friends. You can get the Word of God out and then to say, would you read this, please? And if you have any questions, ask me, you see. That's the way you do it. And we're going to quickly go through this. This little pamphlet is from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. And what better person to find out how to lead somebody to Christ than through an evangelist, one who's done it all of his life. He knows. So, we have these out there, and if we run out, tell me. I have more. But let's look on the very inside and on the very first page, and I don't want anybody in this church ever not know how to lead somebody to Christ. Okay? Now, it says God's purpose, peace and life. God loves you, wants you to experience his peace and life, abundant and eternal. Bible says we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. He is the door. He is the door. He is the door. Okay? And of course, John 3:16, most of us know that. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son to whosoever. I love that whosoever part. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish. That means come to nothing, not come to what God called you to be in the first place, but have eternal life. I have come they might have life and have it more abundantly. Then it goes on. Why don't most people have this peace and abundant life that God plans for us to have? Go to step two. The problem is separation. Separation. It says, God created us in his own image to have abundant life. He did not make us robots to automatically love and obey him. God gave us a will and a freedom of choice. We choose to disobey God, go our own willful way. We still make this choice today. The result is separation from God. For all of sin comes short of the glory of God. You can have them, read it on here, or look it up in their own Bible, or you can give them your Bible, have people, if they're interested, to personally read these things and explain it. All of sin and come short of the glory of God. There isn't anybody that hadn't sinned. Sin is breaking God's laws. They say, what laws? Ten Commandments, Exodus 20. If you broke them one, you're not eligible for heaven. For all of sin comes short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin, because we sin, we die. That's why people die. That's why you have an obituaries in the paper. Because of sin, it tells you every day, sin, 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 sin. That's why people die. That's why their body dies. They don't die. Their body dies because of sin. Sin is, very simply, disobeying God's laws. Adam and Eve broke the laws. God said, don't eat of that tree. They ate of the thing. And so they were separated from God. Boom, just like that. So it shows a little picture across the page there. People sinful, God holy. You can't get across there. No way for man to get across that gap, you see. And then, next page, our attempts to reach God. People have tried many ways to bridge this gap between themselves and God. The Bible says there is a way that seems right to man, but the end of it leads to death. But your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so he will not hear. So, you look across the page, people sinful, God holy. People trying to get across that gap by good works, religion, philosophy, morality, whatever. It doesn't work. No bridge reaches God except one. Go to step three. Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose from the dead, from the grave. He paid the penalty for our sin, bridged the gap between God and people. The Bible says, for there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. In other words, Jesus has his hand in the Father's hand, and he reaches out to your hand. But you have to take it. A person has to take the hand of Jesus. Or they cannot get across this gap between people sinful, God holy. All right, step four. Our response to receive Christ. We must trust Christ as our Savior and Lord and receive him by personal invitation. You have to be invited to come to God. Here's the invitation. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anybody hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with him. He with me. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. But look at this part, confess with your mouth. I heard a guy tell me one time, yes, I'm a Christian, but I never tell anybody. What? Where's the confession with your mouth? If you're ashamed to tell somebody you're a Christian, in shame of Jesus, then I think we better go back to step one. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Now, you know, nobody ever, when I was lost and went to church, ever showed me anything like this. Never saw anything like this. When I got saved, I didn't even know what happened to me. I just knew I wanted Jesus, but I didn't know all this stuff about it. And so I prayed the prayer, and then I had to ask, what's salvation all about? Well, where are you here? Are you over here on the other side, or are you here with God? People sinful, rebellious, separation. God, peace, forgiveness, abundant life, eternal life. Go to the next page. Will you receive Jesus Christ right now? That's the question. That's the question. You have to ask the question. People tell people about Christ, but they don't ask the question. Would you like to receive Christ right now? I witnessed to Chuck back here, and I gave him the whole spiel and everything I knew, and everybody else knew about Jesus Christ. And I asked him, would you like to receive Christ? And I, what was his words, Gracie?
No, I don't believe I do.
Okay, there you go. I was in his house, right across the table, looking him in the eyeball. I asked him the question. He said no. On the way home, Grace just went crazy. I can't believe you told him all of that. He said no. I said, he's got the right to say no. He's got a free will. The next day, he was out in his garage. I'm not going to tell it all. Now, don't worry about it. He calls me up. And he said, something's happened to me. I said, what'd you do? He said, I just threw up my hands and said, Jesus, save me. And he did. That's it. I gave him the information. It wasn't because I was a pastor. It could have been anybody. He took it in. Don't ever give up. Don't ever think because somebody said, no, that's it. That's just the beginning. You gave him the word of God. You planted seeds. Are you listening to me? It's like planting seeds out in the garden. Something's going to come up, folks. And I'm just telling you, that's what you do. You take this thing with you, if you need to. Read right out of the thing, just like I'm reading to you. And the first person I saved, I read a prayer I had written in my Bible because I didn't remember what to pray. But I remembered I had enough information to be dangerous. And I was talking to this girl. She was crying. She worked for me at her store where I was. And she was crying. She was having all kinds of family problems. And I just said, you know, let me tell you about Jesus. She was crying. And I gave her the information. And I thought, man, this isn't going anywhere. But I looked at her and I said, would you like to accept Christ? She said, yes. I said, close your eyes. I didn't want her to know that I was reading it out of my Bible. I had my Bible over on my desk, and I opened it up, and because I had asked the preacher that I was saved under, and I said, how do you lead somebody to the Lord? Well, he gave me basic information, but I said, well, what do you have them pray? And he said, I'll give you a prayer, and I wrote it down in my Bible. I don't have the same one, or I'd show you. I wrote it down in my Bible, so I got my Bible while she had her eyes closed, and I turned the flat to the, just, it was inside the front cover, and I said, I'm going to pray for you, and then I want you to pray this. And she said, okay. So I just read the prayer I had in the Bible. I read that, and she prayed that, and that was pretty much it. She left, and 2 weeks later, they moved out of town, and I never knew what happened. 1 year later, she called me up, and she said, I want you to know, in your office, I received Christ. And she said, my family was having all these problems, are in church every Sunday, and things are going great. All I did was tell her about Jesus. I didn't know one-tenth of what I know now. And I had her pray this prayer that I'd written in my Bible. And she got saved. Eventually her husband got saved. And I don't know about the rest of the family. I haven't heard about it since. But now, it says here, here's how you receive Christ. I'll turn to that page. Here's how you receive Christ. admit your need. You can, if somebody asks you, or if you ask him, would you receive Christ, you can say, do you have a need? Are you a sinner? Have you ever sinned? Have you ever broken the laws of God? And somebody says, well, I don't think I've sinned. Well, go through the Ten Commandments real quick. That'll take care of that problem. And then be willing to turn from your sins. That's called repentance. Return from your sins. Being willing to quit doing what you're doing. That's wrong. Believe that Jesus Christ died for you to cross and rose from the grave. And now, fourth thing, and some people just stop right there. But you need to go to four. Through prayer, have them invite, or if it's for you, you would invite Jesus Christ to come in and control your life through the Holy Spirit. Receive him as Lord and Savior. Now here's a prayer across the page here. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. And if you're doing this with somebody, have them date it and sign it right there. Now, I don't think it has to be exactly those words. That's not exactly what I have people pray, but I think they need to acknowledge they're a sinner. And I think they need to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for them. I don't think that's in here, but it's basically the same information. But there has to be a point where right now, point in time, I receive Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Now, there isn't anybody that can't get saved. Sometimes Jesus will save the lowest, low-down skunk in the history of the world just to show you he can save anybody. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. You see. I always tell you, I go back to my high school reunion, they can't believe it. Said, he's a pastor. They laugh for about 3 hours. If they would have written anybody at the class graduation, who is most likely to go to hell, they would have put my name. But I think God saved me. Just show him he can save anybody. That's true. And I'm not bragging. I'm just stating the facts. Now, go to the next page. Now, if you pray this prayer, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That's pretty definite. Did you sincerely ask Jesus Christ to come in your life? You can ask him this. Where is he right now? They need to understand he's in them. Something new has happened. They're going to sense it anyway. And he says, by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, so anyone can boast. God, nobody's going to boast that they were so great God saved them. I certainly wouldn't. Now listen, this is the difference between going to hell forever or being in eternity with Jesus Christ. That's it. There will be people that have gone to church 10 times more than you and I are being in eternal hell because they never received Jesus Christ as their Savior. You say that's not fair. Well, it wasn't fair that Jesus Christ had to come and die for us either. Are you listening? If God himself came and died on the cross of Calvary, don't you believe he has the right to set the rules up? And don't you know that he put it in a Bible where there's more Bibles in the world than any other book so there'd be no question about people knowing the information if they desired to have it? Now, you can give them scriptures like 1 John 5:12-13. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life, period. That's the issue. Either you have Christ or you don't have Christ. Somebody said, well, I've heard all of this stuff before. Well, how many people have you talked to about it? probably the best thing I could do in the world is go over this every Sunday morning for the next 10 Sundays till we get it. Because you haven't got it unless you do it, you see. Now, when we receive Christ, we're born into the family through supernatural work of the Holy Spirit who indwells every believer. This is called regeneration or the new birth or being born again. That's what receiving Christ is all about. Now, if you do not have the desire to make some more babies, then there's something wrong, you see. Now, on the back, it tells them what to do after that. On the very back here, tells them, you can tell them the same thing. Read your Bible every day. Tell them they don't have to read the whole Bible every day. Just read parts, meditate on it. You can explain that. Talk to God every day in prayer. If you're not doing this stuff, I suggest you read the back of this. Somebody said, well, I just don't think this Christian life works. Well, it's because you're not doing it. Talk to God in prayer every day. Tell others about Jesus. I get up every morning. I said, God, good morning, Lord. I report for duty. Every single morning. Every single morning. I say, Lord, good morning. I'm reporting for duty. Now, you're involved in worship. You're involved in fellowship. You serve with other Christians. In a church where Christ is preached. We're servants. Jesus Christ said, I am a servant. How can we be less? We are servants of God. Servants do things. Servants wait on somebody, you see. All right. In fact, the Bible says servants eat last. I'll take it. As Christ's representative in a needy world, demonstrate your new life by love and concern for other people. Somebody ought to underline that last one. I think one of the questions Jesus is going to ask at the throne of God, did you love anybody else? We just read this about one talent. It's time for me to close. We don't have any further. But next time, I want you to get this. We have these tracts. You can use them. You can write up your own. You can write your own prayer. I'm not too concerned about the words, but you should get in there, sin, the cross of Jesus, and I receive Christ. Now, if you received Christ or you thought you did when you were young and it didn't seem to take, then I would do it today. And the next thing then is you need to talk to the person about being baptized. And they don't have to be baptized immediately, but they should be baptized and then help them in their Christian life. Take them to church, do whatever. Any questions? You get credit for what? Yes, that's a very good question. She said, do you get credit for working on people? The answer is yes. Some plant, some water, some harvest. If you had a part in their salvation, if you ever talked to somebody about Jesus and they got saved later, you do get a point, get points for that. Absolutely correct. Yes, ma'am. What's that?
Do you have an answer for why I can't succeed ever?
Have you talked to people?
A lot.
Okay.
But I get the same answer. Maybe you're the planner.
That's okay. Maybe you're a planner. Not everybody harvests, but you have succeeded if that person comes to Christ. Doesn't make any difference 10 years later. Absolutely, you have a part in that. You just want to see it? Okay, well, let's pray right now. I want everybody that wants to see part of the harvest raise their hand. Father, in Jesus' name, I commission these to see the harvest. I anoint these in the name of Jesus to see the harvest before they come to be with you. I pray, Lord, you're going to bring people across their path, and people are just going to ask them, what about Jesus? And they're going to speak to those people, and they will receive Jesus Christ. I speak it as such. I give them the anointing of the Holy Spirit for that purpose. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Remember now, today we have the Lord's Supper. We're going